WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. Pomp and pageantry at Windsor Castle as the King and Queen welcome President Trump and the First Lady. CBS's Ed O'Keefe is there.
We know that the Union Jack that was flown over Buckingham Palace on the day of the President's inauguration was gifted to the President, while the Trumps gave the King a replica of Dwight D. Eisenhower's military sword.
Ousted CDC Director Susan Menarez is about to begin testifying before the Senate Health Committee. CBS's Nicole Killian.
According to prepared remarks, Menarez says she was let go after refusing to fire career officials.
FBI officials in Pittsburgh searching for a local man they suspect rammed his car into the gate of a field office, draped an American flag over it, and ran away. Special Agent in Charge, Christopher Giordano.
That's not to say that we're going to charge him with anything of terrorism related, but we take this extremely seriously.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 540 WAUK.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A police chase in Milwaukee ended last night with three people dead when a fleeing car hit another vehicle. Police say they first tried pulling the driver over near 36th and Wright at around 9:30, but the car sped off. The crash happened about a mile south at 35th and Vliet. Three people in the car that was hit died. Two others inside were rushed to the hospital. The 19-year-old driver who was running from police was arrested after being hurt in the crash along with two of his passengers. Charges are pending. The goal is to improve the intake of international travelers. Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport has started a $95 million project to modernize and expand its international travel capabilities. The new Concourse E terminal will replace the old International Arrivals terminal, nearly tripling the passenger capacity to handle 400 international arrivals an hour. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley says the upgrade will boost international connections and economic growth for the area. Construction is expected to finish by 2027. The work is funded by airport revenue, bonds, and federal support. An 11-year-old is Milwaukee's latest homicide victim. Milwaukee police have confirmed that an 11-year-old was fatally shot last night near 68th Street and Silver Spring Drive. The child was taken to Children's Wisconsin but died at the hospital. There have been no reports of an arrest. An investigation continues. Employee paychecks may have a new address, but things are expected to stay the same at Festival. Lisa Hale has more.
A Wisconsin-based grocery chain has been sold to a St. Louis-based company. Schnucks Markets purchased Festival Foods, and in a press release said the combined grocery stores will all fall under an umbrella company called 1939 Group Incorporated. Festival Foods, which operates 51 stores throughout the state, will keep its name.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Badgers try to regroup. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football. After losing to Alabama, the Wisconsin Badgers hope to bounce back when they host the 3-0 Maryland Terrapins this Saturday. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on trying to turn around the program in the NIL portal transfer era.
Whether you're playing with three redshirt freshman offensive linemen or, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, their first time playing together with us, we have to make sure that we aren't just focused on the destination. Saturday will take care of itself.
NFL, the Packers have their first road game this week. Safety Xavier McKinney says they can't overlook the 0-2 Browns this Sunday in Cleveland.
I still think they got a good team. I think if you look at their roster or who they have on their team or what they can do, they got a lot of talent. It can turn around quickly for them.
Baseball, it's the Brewers and Angels tonight in game two of that series in Milwaukee. Brandon Woodruff gets the start. Last night, Freddy Peralta pitched six innings, allowed just one run, two hits, 10 strikeouts on the way to a 9-2 victory for the Crew. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to about 63 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day, although it will be a little cooler with a high right around 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at. They have 17 pro courts. There's no waiting around. Court times that fit your schedule. Plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screen TVs so you can catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond, 540 WAUK.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show coming up for you today. Our guest, James Vanderloo. Mm-hmm. From the OEC group, Milwaukee is going to be joining us at hour number two. They deal with importers and exporters.
Yes.
And so we're going to be talking about supply chains and tariffs on today. Mm-hmm. Not so much tomorrow. Who knows next week?
Yeah.
Businesses just love insecurity.
They love uncertainty.
Yes. There's
nothing.
Businesses just love that. So we'll be talking to James Vanderloo to talk about what he is hearing from his clients and what he expects to see with the supply chain going forward. In the next half an hour after the 9:30 news, Bennett Goldstein is a reporter with the Wisconsin Watch. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be joining us. And we're going to be talking about food insecurity and addressing food insecurity in more rural parts of the state. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people always assume that food insecurity and people having trouble making ends meet only happens in urban areas. That is not the case.
Nope. And it's the story is going to highlight how one county is coming together to meet the challenges created by federal cuts to food programs.
Exactly. So that will be happening in about a half an hour after the 9:30 news. Last half an hour of the show, as we always do, we will lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Today, thank you, Calvin. This generated from something we were kicking around in the office before we got on the air. Technology, are you the helper or are you the helpy? Calvin's the helpy, at least for me.
He's the helper.
Yes. I am way the helpy.
I'm sorry. Me, Calvin.
You have helped. Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. Greg Bach, you're both my helpers.
Wow.
I apologize.
Okay.
You can beat me up later.
Whoa.
But
calm down, lady.
Are you the helper or are you the helpy? And we would love to know more specifics about trying to help your parents. Send emails or whatever.
Or maybe your parents have to help you. You never know.
That's it could be.
Yeah,
you that's never very know. Possible. You never and then know. At the very end, as we always do, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Fyre Fest. What could go wrong this time? Jeez. Edition. This is like volume four.
This
or
is volume
five.
Four for us. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been quite a few. So stay tuned for that. We do have baseball coming up later on today, 6:05. Our broadcast starts as the Brewers host the Angels. You can listen to the game. Does have to be on terrestrial radio. So catch it tonight starting 6:05 WRCE in Richland Center. Here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN, WCQM in Park Falls. And our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate in Hayward, WBZH. So the Brewers and the Angels, our broadcast starts 6:05.
Got that playoff spot. We need that division. We're Still too close.
It's close.
Yeah, I know.
Because the Cubs just won, right?
And the Brewers won last night. It's still five games apart. Which
That's tight.
It's tight.
They can do it.
Widen that berth.
We'll have more sports tomorrow.
That's right, we will. Because it's Thursday.
It is Thursday, so join us for that. Some breaking news as we're coming on the air also this morning. Francesca Hong has officially entered the governor's race. Francesca has been a guest on our show, and she appeared with Pat Quitelow this morning shortly after making her announcement. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says Francesca Hong prefers wild card to underdog.
Yeah.
And she's got a new ad out announcing her candidacy. Pretty straight. She's a straight talker.
Oh, yeah. There's no mincing words with Representative Hong right there. None whatsoever. And that makes it five candidates thus far. Officially, Sarah Rodriguez, David Crowley, Francesca Hong, Kel DeRoyce. And I cannot remember his first name, Mr. Strand.
Calvin, do you remember?
Is it Strand or Strand?
Ryan Sternad.
Sternad. Ryan Sternad, who is a beer vendor at the ballpark in Milwaukee. All five have officially launched their campaigns on the Democratic side. And it's going to be, I mean, this is...
We got a long way to go yet.
And this isn't the end of people joining the race. We still have, there's still thoughts. People, you know, I hear things about Josh Call. I hear wisps about Cavalier Johnson, but I don't personally think he's going to.
I don't think with Crowley in the race, I don't see Cavalier running.
I agree. So it's just going to... We wanted 2025 off. We really did. It would have been nice to get like a vacation, but we're in it.
We're in it.
2026, gird up. Here we go.
Yeah. Ah! Going to be many, many, many things to come, and we will keep up on that, and obviously we will look to book Fran Hong on the program and get her back. And, of course, as far as I know, she's the only one who of the candidates who is an expert on tater tots. It's an edge. You got to take
Well, you got my vote, I guess.
Well, I'm just throwing that out there. Again, we will effort to get to Fran Hong on the show in the next couple of weeks. We wanted to start off with this. If you are wondering about getting a COVID vaccine.
Correct. Yes.
There has been a lot of confusion, especially now with Bob Jr., the head of the health department and the CDC, and they're changing vaccine requirements right and left. And there has been confusion, and I've also seen on various social media sites with folks who have tried to get a COVID shot and they can't.
Yeah.
So this from the Wisconsin Examiner, Baylor Spears has the byline. Governor Evers issues executive order aimed at protecting vaccine access. Governor Evers says, quote, vaccines saved lives. Spreading fear, distrust, and disinformation about safe and effective vaccines isn't just reckless, it's dangerous. RFK and the Trump administration are inserting partisan politics into healthcare, and the science-based decisions of medical professionals are putting the health and lives of kids, families, and folks across our state at risk in the process. So according to the governor, his executive order directs the State Department of Health Services to take steps towards protecting access.
Mm-hmm.
This includes monitoring and reviewing immunization recommendations, giving guidance on the COVID shots, determining additional measures that may be needed to provide clarity and guidance on other routine vaccines. We talked to Dr. Kristen Lyerly earlier this week.
Yeah.
Measles is spreading.
Yes, it is.
In Wisconsin.
Yes, it is.
We had eradicated measles.
Yeah, we thought it was gone, and then it came back, and people are... And there are some folks out there who have an attitude towards it, like, measles... Wait, what's... Because it's been gone for so long, and I think you mentioned this, that the sheer force of measles is clearly underestimated. People just kind of equate it to, like, you know,
like a flu. It's a cold.
Flu or chicken pox or something like that. Like, oh, just take a little medicine, you'll be fine. No, measles have lasting effect on people, especially kids.
Yes.
So just get vaccinated. Don't just get vaccinated. I'm being paid by no one for this, okay? No one's paying me to say this.
Big Pharma, we're waiting for all those big checks to come in.
Oh, Mother Glory, my gosh. All those, they gave me a Culver's gift card to tell you to get vaccinated.
Yeah, no, that hasn't happened.
No.
So again, the governor of Wisconsin, state of Wisconsin Health Department taking some steps so that people who want it can get it. At the Department of Health Services, Dr. Ryan Westergaard, Chief Medical Officer, State Epidemiologist for Communicable Diseases, has issued a standing medical order recommending the vaccine for all eligible Wisconsin residents this fall. With the order, no prescription is needed. And also, I saw in this article also from the Wisconsin Examiner that says it will not require a patient copayment.
Exactly. Yeah, they're doing all the work to make sure that it's as easy and as affordable, if not free, for Wisconsinites to just get that vaccination. And that is, you know, we're in 2025, you know, 10 years ago, this really would not have been a thing.
It's just so interesting when I think about the anti-vax movement.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, it seemed to me more of these stereotypical granola eating, you know, off the grid living kind of granola. Folks. But it was more of a hippy dippy thing.
Well, I mean, it was, but that's the kind of the wild thing now is that I would always equate that my apologies to those who are hippy dippy, but like hippy dippy, you always would say like, oh, they're liberals. They're going to, they believe in oneness and blah, 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 whatever else you want to say. But it's that weird anti-vax culture that has worked its way into the Eastern medicine world where not only are they, I mean, it was, there's no doubt there's a record and a history for them saying, hey, you don't need modern Western medicines. You can take this.
This herbal treatment.
And I get that. I totally understand. But what has happened now is this disdain for the medical industry
rejection of
where they're putting on red hats and voting for Trump in a way that's as vitriolic as just the mega base as it is. So it's coming from all ends. And the you know, I told you before that I fell into a rabbit hole on YouTube about debunking various conspiracy theories. And the one thing that always grabs me with the vaccination movement is that while there's piles of proof to show that vaccines work, there is nowhere near enough proof to show that they cause any sort of lasting damage to the greater population. That doesn't include those who could legitimately become injured from the vaccine or have certain side effects or, you know, things happen. That's just how it works with vaccines. But what the thing that always gets me is there's no proof that there's scientists out there who are just bathing in money. All these scientists, all these doctors through the years who have done the research, the trials, who have recommended, who have said, yes, this vaccination works. I would like for your child. They're not getting
rich
millionaire. They're not getting planes and pools and cars and boats. So this conspiracy of like, well, it's big pharma, but big pharma is always big pharma, regardless of the medicine. But vaccines, you think that this is some sort of funnel of money for a certain subsect of our society, which is the medical industry. I know doctors who are not getting rich off of prescribing vaccinations, especially ones that are like for the measles, COVID, flu, whatnot.
Well, I just think when we're talking to kids about going into, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of people. Be an epidemiologist. That's where the money is.
Oh,
baby.
My gosh.
That's what, you know, that's the career path you want to take.
Yeah.
Because research is so lucrative.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. It's not.
It's not.
No.
And I think of some of the doctors who are prevalent on social media, Dr. Peter Hotz, who has been involved in it for a long time. Look at the way they demonized Dr. Anthony Fauci,
mm-hmm.
who had been in public service and public health for decades.
Our current Health and Human Services Secretary wrote an entire book about Dr. Fauci and, quote, his lies.
Our current one.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the thing that will never make sense to me. One, like, I don't understand why you can never make it make sense to me. On any from the economic to the health reasons, why you think vaccinations are a bad thing. And don't come at me with, well, I'm a skeptic. No, you're just a contrarian. There's a difference.
Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK. I saw something on the news this morning. Insurance companies have agreed to pay for COVID vaccines. So if you want to get one,
mm-hmm.
go get one.
Yes, please.
Yeah, absolutely. If you were affected by the floods that we had, seems just a month ago,
it was,
wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
There's help. We'll tell you how you can get it on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A bipartisan bill banning members of Congress from owning or trading individual stocks has been introduced in the U.S. House. It appears the reform could pass due in no small part to a tax break sweetener just for members. For years, allegations have plagued members of Congress who allegedly traded stocks on the basis of inside information. The Brennan Center for Justice points to Senator Dianne Feinstein's February 2020 trades prior to pandemic-related market losses and Representative Rob Bresnahan's sale of hospital development bonds only a month after he voted to cut Medicaid and put those hospitals at risk of closure. September 3rd, Republican Representative Chip Roy introduced H.R. 5106, also called the Restore Trust in Congress Act, co-sponsored by Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and 15 others. The bill allows current members 180 days to divest of individual stocks, but allows investing in mutual funds, index funds, municipal bonds, and treasury bonds. But one critic writes in Forbes that the reform comes with a sweetheart deal, allowing members to divest and defer capital gains taxes until after they leave Congress, a huge gift to multimillionaire members. Both House Speaker Mike Johnson and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries have signaled they will support the bill. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same. You can do both. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, Bennett Goldstein is going to join us. He's a reporter for Wisconsin Watch. And we're going to talk about Juneau County specifically and their efforts to fight the growing number of people who need access to food.
Yeah.
And this is not just an urban issue. Food insecurity exists all across the state.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk to Bennett about some of his reporting for the Wisconsin Watch on this particular program in Juneau County that seems to be having some success. Also, just a little bit of a reminder to download the Civic Media app.
Ooh, why?
Because, first and foremost, this Friday is the last day, the last free ticket Friday of this season.
It's the last day.
It's the last Friday ever. No, it is our final free ticket Friday. Your last chance to pick up a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Brewers are doing pretty hot right now.
Could be hotter. Would like one or two more victories.
Let's not do, okay.
Hey. I'm not. Hey.
You can win a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets this coming Friday for the final time, starting at 6 a.m. You cannot win.
Well, I know I can't win because you tell me that every week and it kind of hurts after a while. But the point is, Jane, when we say club level, does that mean like fancy?
It means there's a special hallway to get there.
Ooh. Is it carpeted?
I believe it is carpeted because you and I were there last year. And then there's a special entrance.
Yeah.
And they have little special restaurants and you have access to bathrooms. Well, that's a big thing for people of a certain age.
I would like to make it clear that in the entirety of American Family Field, you have access to bathrooms.
Yes, there are other bathrooms, but these are dedicated to the club level. So there's less competition.
you have to fight it out.
For X.
I will all you are forgetting one major bragging point of club level seats. Squishy chairs.
Squishy seats.
Squishy seats.
They're very comfy.
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
Your tush and your back will not hurt after watching wonderful baseball. So yeah, get the Civic Media app on your device. When we give you the keyword, you're going to text that keyword in. It must be spelled correctly, and you can only participate on the app. It has to be through there.
Yep.
And then you'll be entered to win that 4-pack. And you'll have 5 chances throughout the day on Friday.
Starting with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, then our show from 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Also, there are rumors, Greg Bach.
And Pete Schwabba.
And Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8.
Yeah. What's that? What's the rumor?
That once we have the final free ticket Friday, this Friday,
yeah,
there could be another multi-state text to win contest coming right around the corner.
Are we crazy here?
So much winning. So many so prizes.
Much winning.
So much winning. Download the Civic Media app.
Yeah.
It is
absolutely free.
All right. As we promised, there is finally FEMA assistance
that's
Thank now goodness. Available to people who were just devastated by the 1,000-year flood that we had in parts of southeastern Wisconsin just about a month ago. The only thing is there are a whole bunch of caveats in order to get this help.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get any other help, which means you can't get any of your damage covered by an insurance company or enter any similar kind of reimbursement programs. You have to have been living in that property as your primary residence. So if this was a secondary home, that's not going to apply. You have to be an owner or a renter. Your home has to have sustained disaster caused damage, going back to this 1,000-year flood. And you must be a U.S. citizen, a non-citizen national, or a qualified alien. So you can get this help through FEMA. Again, talking about that disastrous flooding that we had just about a month ago in southeastern Wisconsin. You can do it online. It's disasterassistance.gov. You can also call the FEMA helpline. We'll include all this stuff in the show notes.
All this in the show notes already.
800. I mean, we'll put the number in the show notes. I would suggest it's probably going to be faster if you can do it online.
Correct. Absolutely. And especially like we were talking about the whole 211 reporting as well. If you do the reporting, it's best to do it online. That way you don't have to wait on the phone. You don't have to worry about
and
being
overwhelmed
transferred.
That system.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't realize there were so many caveats, especially the one of you can't get insurance money and get FEMA. That just to me seems, although at this point, I feel like I could rely more on FEMA than insurance as far as what we're seeing coming through as yeah, exactly. So
it really depends.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you apply for FEMA assistance, you have to tell FEMA about any insurance coverage that you have that can help.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you do have insurance, you have to give FEMA proof of it, a settlement, or explaining that you got denied coverage. So again, we will include all of this in our show notes. You mentioned this earlier this week that I think is a really good idea as well. Floodplains have been changing
Correct.
As more of this flooding has happened
Correct.
Due to climate change and the warming climate. Call your
There's two places you can two ways you can do it. If you still have a mortgage, call your bank and they should have someone, either your mortgage lender or your mortgage broker or someone on staff who has that information. And if it changes, they will let you know. That is what ours told us. Or you can go right to your municipality and talk to somebody. And I believe it would probably, and the name of the department is escaping me right now. But just go to your municipality, your town hall, city hall, ask who you would speak to about floodplains.
And whether or not your home is located in a floodplain.
Correct. And that way you can be assured and possibly insured about it.
Again, we'll put it all in the show notes. You can find it at civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Once the show is over, just click on shows, go to Matt Nair on Air, and there is about 100 archived programs there. Greg does a great job with the show notes. All the links will be in there. We have news coming up next, and then we're talking about food assistance in Juneau County. Bennett Goldstein with Wisconsin Watch is our guest. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's something you hope never gets used, but there are new emergency procedures within MPS. Milwaukee Public Schools says their new emergency protocols are meant to make responses across schools clearer and easier to follow. The new standard response protocol covers five scenarios: hold, secure, lockdown, evacuate, and shelter. Posters with this new plan are displayed in every classroom. The protocol was said to be developed with input from local police and fire to focus on what really works during a crisis. The impacts of the August floods go beyond cleanup, as many now seek financial help to rebuild. With nearly $30 million in FEMA funds approved, people can begin applying for federal disaster assistance. At the same time, the State Small Business Administration released a statement about its low-interest disaster loans for Milwaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties. There are specific deadlines to apply, and more information about the new loans are available on the SBA website. Data center concerns continue to arise. A new analysis shows the two approved AI data centers in Wisconsin could use more energy than all the homes in the state combined. That's according to a report from an environmental group called Clean Wisconsin. They say that between the Microsoft data center in Racine County and another in Port Washington, they'll need a combined 3.9 gigawatts of electric power. That's enough energy to power 4.3 million Wisconsin homes. There are just 2.8 million homes in the entire state. It's not just the electric. The water is also an issue. A lawsuit was filed this week against the city of Racine seeking transparency on the projected water use at the Microsoft site. Clean Wisconsin is calling for more openness about the demands the data centers place on resources. There are three other proposals for more data centers in Wisconsin, including one that's currently being discussed in Caledonia. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Feel like spending Christmas in Las Vegas? I'm sure the town would love to bring tourism back, and hopefully Mariah Carey's new residency will help. Mariah Carey's Christmas Time in Las Vegas will kick off November 28th at Dolby Live at the Park MGM. Carey will perform 10 shows that will conclude on December 13th. Do you think she'll sing All I Want for Christmas? If you're looking for a road trip, tickets go on sale September 20th. Sydney Sweeney continues to diversify her resume, with her latest role being a maid. The Housemaid stars Sweeney alongside Amanda Seyfried in this dark psychological thriller. The story follows Sweeney's character, who is fresh out of prison and who is hired by Seyfried's character and her handsome husband, and becomes close to the attractive couple. Pretty sure this isn't an adult film, but who knows? The Housemaid will drop in theaters December 19th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Group. Learn more online at horizonslaw.com.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to about 63 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day, although it will be a little cooler with a high right around 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
If you're trying to do your own divorce, divorce coaching can be a godsend. It can help you organize all of your financials, review your spouse's financials, and help you put together a proposal to resolve your divorce, or be able to articulate why the proposal is unfair and whether you can push back on things like an inheritance or the income of the other party. Call Horizons Law Group today and speak to attorney Michelle Fitzgerald, 262-432-3600 or horizonslaw.com.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the general that helped save New Orleans, General Russell Honoré. He's a decorated 37-year Army veteran. We'll talk to him about the impacts the Trump regime has had on our armed services.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. You can call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Bennett Goldstein. He is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch, and we're going to be talking about an article that he has been working on about combating hunger in Juneau County in particular. Bennett, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. First of all, I want to say how impressed I was when I looked at your website this morning and the whole About tab. And you have a very extensive list on what are the responsibilities of journalists and what actual journalists do and what are the responsibilities of true journalism. And I thought that was so impressive because there's such a blurred line, it seems, these days into what actually goes into being a reporter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think just one of the, you know, most important things is to really listen to the needs of local communities and try to connect them with information that they, you know, could benefit from. And then also just, you know, more generally, you know, in particular, I enjoy trying to capture a slice of life. Stories that can really help people empathize with each other.
Well, tell us about this particular story that you worked on for the Wisconsin Watch about the about Juneau County in specific and what they're doing to combat food insecurity.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So Juneau County is one of Wisconsin's most food insecure regions. And when we say food insecure, we just mean people have, you know, who have a hard time accessing not only accessing food, but also healthy and nutritious food. And in Juneau County in particular, about 1 in 7 residents struggle with poverty and making ends meet. Oftentimes they're elderly, living on fixed incomes. And so last year, Juneau County started a program, you know, where they were able to hand out food that was grown by local farmers. And so when the money, which came from the USDA, was and then through Wisconsin, you know, it was canceled. And so this year, the county and donors kind of stepped in to run the program again because it was just so well received last year.
And this is something, you know, especially the LFPA program, which we've talked to, I believe, Hans Breitenmoser and Darren Von Ruden and Pam Yonke about. This was abrupt that the funding was just stopped, and it left communities like Juneau County in a spot to like, all right, what are we going to do next? And your story shows that this is what happens when communities can come together and take care of this, because they have to, because we're not going to get help from the government on this one. Therefore, they have to do it on their own. And this is a great example of us, as you said, showing empathy and coming together and understanding we all need the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really did come as a surprise because this program, as you said, the LFPA, Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, it was a great way of connecting farmers and helping and fishermen to help feed their communities. And the food went to pantries and food banks and and so even though the money was gone, Juneau County was able to run a smaller program this year. And, you know, they're really doing, you know, especially the county staff and employees in some cases are volunteering their time and also getting community members to help fill in some of these gaps and doing the best that they can.
It's tough, Bennett. And I wonder, too, if. Do you think that there's a misconception that hunger only happens in urban areas? Because I looked at where Juneau County is, And Juneau County is essentially northwest of Wisconsin Dells and kind of includes Mauston as the largest community. I just think a lot of people would not associate hunger with that area necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hunger in rural spaces is definitely, just as real as you would think of in big cities. I mean, Linden Station, for instance, where I visited for one of the food distributions, it's only a village of 500 people, and people, were absolutely appreciative of being able to access some of these things because, you know, sometimes you have to drive, more than 10 miles just to get to the nearest grocery store. And in some of these, rural places, it takes money to get food to them. And so you might see higher prices than you might in an urban environment where there would be more options to get food.
Right. Well, good heavens, if you're in a rural community, the closest place to pick up stuff might be the local gas station. And gas station prices and those mini marts, while it's nice to have an option, those tend to be more expensive than a big grocery store.
And don't have a great amount of selection either.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you don't have access to a car or you're older and you can't drive, I mean, then where are you going to get that food?
Well, and too, and you had mentioned that so many senior citizens who are lived on fixed incomes, they want to stay in their communities where they've lived all of their lives, right? And in order for them to stay in those communities, they need a little extra help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I think what, is so nice is, you'd mentioned the idea of being able to get, food options. Some of the best produce that you can get is comes fresh from the farm, and in Juneau County, I mean, they're really well positioned to be able to grow a lot of these vegetables and get variety that you wouldn't normally see in a gas station or a Dollar General.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Bennett Goldstein, who is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch, and he recently published an article on Juneau County and how they are combating food insecurity due to cuts by the federal government for the LFPA local. I always know the LFPA. It's the, remind me again, Bennett. Oh,
yeah, just the food program, the local food program.
There we go. And one of the things when I read this article, Bennett, was not only, the tenor of it all, the theme of it all can seem very dour and not happy, but really what I see from this story is the joy that the community has by coming together and helping. And I want to point specifically to a young woman interviewed named Laura Mortimer, who said feeding the community through Juneau's LFPA program felt awesome. And she felt like she made new friends and she just wanted to keep going. And though we would love to have the funding back from the government and help and investment from our leaders, it does bring a sense of deeper community. And that's what I got from her words, let alone the entire story, is that in that darkness, you're going to find light.
Right. And I think, what was so amazing about this program, it a lot of organizations, even when the federal government was funding it, you had a lot of Wisconsin-based organizations like Marble Seed and the Wisconsin Farmers Union and the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative. Really came together to, kind of create this very well-oiled machine. And then local communities worked with them to kind of identify the needs that were unique to the residents in those areas. Mm-hmm. And so, with all this groundwork laid, it was, the only thing that was missing was just the money to keep, to pay farmers. And so I think that's, really testament to the success that they have seen and are still seeing. And so now it's just, finding just a little bit of money to help, keep paying the bills.
Well, and you do mention in your article, there is one glimmer of bipartisanship. Oh no, we might agree to do something together. The Strengthening Local Food Security Act that was introduced in July by Senator Jim Justice, a Republican from West Virginia, and Jack Reed, a Democrat of Rhode Island, which would allocate $200 million a year for states to pay farmers and fishers to sell their goods to food providers and to schools. And this is a program that farmers like.
And it's popular with the people.
Yeah. And I mean, and you always think of agriculture as something that, you know, really isn't partisan. And so I think that's part of why this was such a shock when the money went away. But I, you know, as the lawmakers have said, it's very much a win-win-win because if we want to maintain strong communities, I mean, what better way is there to do that than through growing fresh food and getting it to food pantries and schools?
And I highly encourage folks to read this article, which you will include in the show notes that you can check out just a couple of minutes after the show is over. You mentioned Dave Durth, who's 77. He's been coming to almost every pop-up since the group started in Juneau County, and he heard about it through a local program through dementia classes he goes to with his wife. It's nice to get some fresh vegetables, just something to look forward to, see some people that you know. Going back to the idea of forming some community and getting people out and getting people to know people who are next door.
Absolutely. It's really about the connections within your communities. And I put Bennett's article in there, but I also put a little history on the LFPA as well. And the thing that I find interesting is that the bipartisanship of it all. And, you know, if Republicans and Democrats are coming together, and that's great. I love that. Who doesn't love some compromise and some getting along? We love that in this world. It just begs the question for me, why did we cancel in the first place? But that's a whole other conversation. But I'm just happy that lawmakers are stepping up and leading, because also, you know, as in this article, Bennett, you know, it's not just about the community. It's about the economics. We need to take care of our farmers. And this is a program that will help them make some money and do what they need to do and really, you know, survive and be what everyone calls them, which is the backbone of our country. So this, I mean, for me personally, I thought this was a great story to show how you step up. And the question I have for you really quick is, are you hearing from other counties trying to do the same thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, so there were, I want to say, at least a dozen different programs similar to Juneau County's, you know, when last year and the year before when the government was funding it, a lot of nonprofit organizations and just citizens came together to really create these local networks that kind of tapped into local knowledge and expertise about how the best ways to get food to people who might otherwise struggle. And you know, some of the best things that people can do is really just, you know, pick up the phone and give your, you know, state or federal lawmaker a call and tell them how much, you know, this program, you know, either meant to you or someone you know, or just, you know, through someone you've heard that had an experience through it.
If I wanted to find, say, my lawmakers, the person who represents me, Greg Bach, if I wanted to find their phone number, where would I do such a thing?
That'd be simple. You just go to myvote.wi.gov, type in your information, it will give you all your representatives from your president down to your dog catcher, if you still vote for them, and you can call, you can email, and you can write them a letter. And we always encourage people to be respectful. But in this situation, yes, go there. If you are a recipient of these programs that help you get food, let your lawmakers know that this works for you, because they may or may not know, just because they're not hearing from everybody. So that's an important point, Bennett. Thank you very much. Something we always talk about is getting your voice into heard, because that is that's how we do it.
They do work for us.
Exactly.
Bennett Goldstein is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch. We'll include his great article in our show notes. Thank you so much, Bennett. We hope to have you back. Let us know what you're working on next.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joseph Pecky.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, Todd Alba Show, 2 to 4 p.m. Todd will be joined by Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow and Lincoln Project's Trigvi Olson. Also, they lighten it up. I love this part of it. I love Todd's show, but what's worse?
Yeah.
You never know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's always something good.
Yes.
What's worse at 3 o'clock hour today with Todd Alba. Make sure you join Todd from 2 to 4 across the network. This broke this morning. Also, as we were coming on the air, Jerry quits Ben and Jerry's ice cream, saying its independence on social issues has been stifled.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Greenfield, one of the co-founders, is leaving the brand after 47 years. They sold to Unilever.
Yes.
And he said that they were promised they would be able to have independence under the Unilever brand. Now he says, quote, for more than 20 years, Ben and Jerry stood up and spoke out in support of peace, justice, and human rights. That independence existed in no small part because of the unique merger agreement that we negotiated with Unilever. It enshrined our social mission and value in the company's structure in perpetuity. It is very disappointing to come to the conclusion that independence is gone. Greenfield says this happens at a time when our country's current administration is attacking civil rights, voting rights, the rights of immigrants, women, and the LGBTQ community. He says it's easy to stand up and speak out when there's nothing at risk. The real test is when times are challenging and you have something to lose.
I don't disagree with that, especially if it's written into their contract. If they have created a landscape where they get to talk about what they want. I will say that for years, the right has targeted Unilever of all companies.
Which is a massive company.
Massive company of being liberal. And maybe it's not because they're so liberal. Maybe it's because they see the value in saying, hey, we have a company that we want to buy and distribute, or we want to distribute them. Let's, if they're popular enough and they make enough money, let them do what they do, because we're going to make money, and let's not put our nose in that part of their business. And thinking about it now, maybe it's the assumption that Unilever is, quote, liberal just because they own Ben and Jerry's or they distribute them. I mean, I don't blame him. They've always been outspoken on their causes.
Extremely.
And what they believe in. And this is a matter of, wait for it. What's that two word? What's those two words? Free speech. It's about free speech.
They are spinning off, Unilever is spinning off its ice cream business, including Ben and Jerry's, into a standalone company called the Magnum Ice Cream Company.
Ugh, that sounds like something in a video game.
It sounds, I have other things it sounds like, which are worse. Spokesperson for this Magnum Ice Cream Company.
Gross.
Says it's forever grateful to Greenfield for his contributions to Ben and Jerry. Thanked him for his service, was not aligned with his viewpoint. We disagree with his perspective. We've sought to engage both co-founders in a constructive conversation on how to strengthen Ben and Jerry's position in the world.
Yeah.
They're committed to carrying on the legacy of peace, love, and ice cream of this iconic, much-loved brand.
That is gross.
That's, Magnum ice cream?
Well, no. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a huge company, but it just feels like also nobody. Okay, fine. What a pun wasted on both of you.
I laughed, Greg.
Thank you. but it sounds evil. It sounds like evil. It sounds like the Magnum ice cream company, and we don't align with their personal beliefs. You don't believe in like helping and justice and democracy and free speech. What?
Unilever acquired Ben & Jerry's in 2000 for $326 million. Woof. At the time, Ben & Jerry's said the partnership would help their company expand its social mission, but that has been having many challenges in the years since. They sued Unilever in federal court in New York in November, accusing them of silencing Ben & Jerry's.
That sounds like a breach of contract then.
It actually does.
Yeah.
Although he has resigned from his role, so apparently he's just going to walk away. The company, by the way, opened their first shop at a renovated gas station in Burlington, Vermont. This teeny tiny little company.
I can't think of Ben and Jerry without thinking about the band Fish. They have the ice cream fish food, which is very, very good, but they're both Burlington natives. The band is from Burlington. Ben and Jerry are from Burlington. So when I think Ben and Jerry, I think of Fish. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it because I love both things so much. And there's a Ben and Jerry's location in Milwaukee, and it's totally tasty. But this brings up a big conversation that we actually had before the show, too, that we'll get into another time, I'm sure, is that, you know, especially under contract, they should be able to say what they want. And when a company is coming in and saying, when your distributor or your partner is saying, you shouldn't be talking like that.
Here's my deal. Remember what we agreed to in my deal?
How is what I'm saying impacting the ice cream sales? Because people who think we're woke have thought we were woke for 20 plus years. I don't see anyone not going to Ben and Jerry's because all of a sudden they find out that, you know, they want to help the homeless or make sure that we have social justice in this. It's just, it's absolute bunk to me. And the Magnum Ice Cream Company, disgusting.
Let's write them.
Disgusting.
We'll send them a terse note.
Yeah,
we'll write a terse note.
It shall be salty, yet sweet.
That's exactly. That's the perfect kind of note for the Magnum Ice Cream Company.
God.
Which again, I have my brain went in an entirely different bad way. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, supply chains and tariffs on off. Yeah, whatever. That's all coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. Pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yes, yes,
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The fired head of the CDC, Susan Menares, is testifying before the Senate Health Committee right now. She says she told Secretary Kennedy there were some lines she refused to cross.
I could not pre-approve recommendations without reviewing the evidence. And I had no basis to fire scientific experts. He told me he had already spoken with the White House several times about having me removed.
In the UK, horse-drawn carriages delivered the president, the first lady, the king and queen, and other top royals to Windsor Castle as President Trump's three-day state visit gets underway. Markets bracing for today's announcement from the Fed on interest rates. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The labor market is deteriorating, and there's no doubt about that. But at the same time, we see prices are starting to edge higher because of those tariffs. I think the Fed is really going to focus on the labor market. We're expecting a quarter of a percentage point drop.
The Dow is up 261 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.